This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, this is perfect. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A bunch of videos from today's Cowboys practice and reports are starting to trickle in, including Micah Parsons saying he will be in Oxnard for training camp, even if a new contract isn't done. Quote, I'll be out there. Mashota reporting that he did not say if he'll be on the field during practice. He said he and Jerry Jones never discussed his contract during their lengthy talk today. And that is the other thing. Social media pictures capturing Micah and Jerry talking there on the sidelines during practices. Bobby Belt from Sean and RJ joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation.
Calling right now.
On your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, Shoddy was great in his pre-deal press conference. Said he's got full attendance. Trayvon Diggs was there as well today. So he said there is full attendance and everybody was happy to be there. As Bobby Belt joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation. Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
Howdy, General. How are you?
Doing wonderful. What was your perspective? What's your opinion of Micah not practicing but chatting with Jerv there for a half hour?
I mean, on the actual topic of him not practicing, I kind of expected that. In fact, I was a little surprised when Shoddy said he would be doing, or he'd be on the field or doing field work. But I think that was just, he was using language that was true, but not totally true. And so that kind of clouded it a little bit. In terms of him talking to Jerry, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, as soon as Jerry was out there, I figured, all right, they're going to spend time with each other if Mike is going to be off to the side. And so they were, you know, arm over the shoulder, face to face, talking for quite a bit of time. But they have a really good relationship. They've got a really strong connection and have always, whenever, you know, they've been out there practice at the same time, they almost always check in with each other.
How long do you get the feeling that this hold out of sorts or a hold in could last?
Well, so that's the thing I was talking about that with some of the reporters today. I don't know how much it's the fact that he didn't specify in his media availability if he would be doing field work if his contract wasn't done when he gets to training camp tells me, all right, he is doing this as a sort of hold in. But I had wondered also if just the fact that he hadn't been there consistently, if they didn't want him out there doing anything, because they've done that in the past with some other players, even if it's for non-contact stuff. If they've got guys out there who have not consistently been out there practice, they show up for mini camp and then they're out there just trying to participate. Typically they will slow roll that a little bit. So, but the fact that Micah talked about it as if he could be in Oxnard 6 weeks from now without a new contract, and then he wasn't sure if he'd actually practice or not, that just tells me he's going to hold that position until he gets a contract done in all likelihood.
What stood out to you about the offense, specifically that Dak and George Pickens connection?
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit more of a, I guess, scaled back team period than we've seen in some recent weeks. You know, it was a lot more detail oriented and things like that. But from the stuff that we did see in some of the pockets of 11-on-11 we got, I thought George Pickens and Dak had a really strong connection today. They connected on a few different passes. I mean, George Pickens absolutely cooked Israel Mukwamu on a route where he faked the slant inside, took a hard step, and then broke outside, and, I mean, just dropped Mukwamu to his rear. And that was something where I kind of wondered if maybe it was a surface thing, because we saw a couple of receivers slip while they were out there. But regardless, he had him completely fooled, got open. Everybody was really excited for it. He and Dak were pumped. And so their connection all day was really, really strong. I thought this was one of Dak's better practices that we've been able to see so far this offseason. He looked a lot more comfortable. He hit Mingo on a deep seam route, looked in connection with everybody. He and CD connected a few times. So overall, I thought this was a good day for Dak, but this is two practices in a row where I felt like, you know, George Pickens really stood out in a big way.
Did Miles Sanders still look like the guy with a little bit more spry legs than Javonte Williams?
Yeah, and that's natural, too, just because of their play styles. But I guess I was just – I've been surprised at just how much spring seems to be to Miles Sanders' game. And there was one moment in particular where there was a screen. They're obviously not doing contact play, been whistled dead. And yet they always kind of, you know, run the play out a little bit to the end zone. And Miles Sanders didn't have the ball, but he was, like, sprinting ahead to, like, block air, basically. So, I mean, just in terms of the energy and the bounce and just sort of the running out the ground ball type of mentality, that's been a lot of what we've seen from Miles Sanders. And, you know, originally they were both kind of rotating first team reps, Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders out there at the OTAs. Today was the first day that I had noticed that Miles Sanders was consistently, when the first team would walk out, he was the first one getting the reps. So they were still rotating, but it was Sanders who would get the reps the very first time, every time the first team offense would go out there.
Hey, Bobby, when you're talking about the linebacker play, I assume it's Sanborn and Murray being the two guys?
Mm-hmm. Sanborn and Murray were the guys out there.
Yeah, so where was Leofowl and all this stuff like that? Was he involved in anything that they were doing, or who was subbing in on those things?
No, so they actually didn't do – they had the first team and the second team completely separated out. Typically, you'll see, some rotation. So the only time we've seen any rotation recently has been at corner. So when Bland has been out there and they've been base package, they will put Bland on the outside, and then they will rotate Andrew Booth, and they'll rotate Kyir Elam. The Kyir Elam was practicing today; Andrew Booth was not. So that kind of changed the dynamic of how they were doing things on defense, where it was Elam and Bland doing all the first team reps, and when they go nickel, he would kick inside, Mukwamu would go to the outside where Bland had been. So there wasn't any rotation on defense. Their defense today was their first-team defense. They weren't subbing anybody out except to do nickel stuff. So, but I think that, you know, Leofowl had been – I didn't even notice Leofowl at any point today. I didn't see him get in any second-team reps. It was actually a light day. We're missing a number of guys in practice. Carson is still working back at corner. Andrew Booth didn't practice. Shamar James didn't practice, but, you know, the first team defense was pretty much locked in. The only thing that I saw in terms of people subbing out or anything a little odd was on the offense. And that was Jake Ferguson was not getting the reps at first team tight end for some reason. I don't know why. He was out there practicing. He would get reps in with the second team offense. He did first team reps in the 7-on-7, but Brevin Spanford was out there getting the first reps at tight end. Then it was Luke Schoonmaker with the first team. And then when they would go two tight end packages, it was Spanford and Schoonmaker. So I don't know if that's an emphasis on getting young guys work, limiting whatever's going on with first team. But the fact that Ferguson wasn't there for second team and not doing anything with the first team, I just thought was a little odd.
That is interesting. Bobby Belt here with you in the G-Bag Nation.
Anything from Joe Milton today, Bob?
Joe Milton had a really nice deep crosser that he threw. It was like his second throw of practice. And that's the thing, we were out there, I was talking to Nick Eatman, and we were just all talking about, like, that's going to be the training camp star. So when we go to training camp, there are going to be so many viral videos of him throwing the ball or doing ridiculous things at practice. When they do that drill where they set up the net in the far end and the quarterbacks are 40 yards out or just trying to throw it, Joe Milton's going to crush that. And you're going to see – I can already hear it now. I was telling Nick this. You're going to hear so much of the, why isn't Joe Milton starting? We should have Joe Milton start, because you're going to see it. And it's going to look super impressive. He's still coming along in the processing. To the point that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they had to go out there and play football today and Dak were to get hurt for some reason. I think Will Greer's coming in. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's Joe Milton. And so I think that they're just at a point right now where they like the tools. They're trying to get him comfortable. They're trying to bring him along because the processing is still something that, you know, he speeds up. He speeds through that stuff really quickly, and he looks a little frazzled by it. So he's working on it, a work in progress. But, yeah, physically, the way he throws the football is really impressive.
What did you think overall about the differences? Like, you've obviously been to the McCarthy practices. What is it that Shoddy did, if anything, that stood out to you that might be different with the way he's handling these mini camps?
Well, I mean, it sounds like there's a good shot we're going to get a third day of mini camp. That's different because Mike McCarthy would always cut it after two practices and give the guys a day off. So that's different. I was talking with Tag Carper, the Cowboys PR guy, earlier today, and I was noticing that, you know, we always used to see Jason Garrett go through the stretch line and he would say hi to every player, right? And Dan Quinn used to do that a little bit. What I'd never seen before until OTAs and minicamp this year, you have every single coach on staff goes through the stretch lines and says hello to every single player, all of them. So Clayton Adams is going up, talking up and down to all the defensive players. You've got Connor Riley doing it, Junior Adams. Literally every coach that's on staff is going up and down the stretch lines talking to the players, every single one, offense and defense. And so they're clearly trying to build this tight culture unit. I think it's a much more competitive atmosphere than the one that Mike McCarthy had. You know, you're seeing a lot of juice, and you're hearing a lot of chirping from the coaches, the players. And so I think it's just competitiveness, and that real attempt to build the camaraderie and the, you know, family feeling is clearly something that's on display.
The great Bobby Belt with us here on The Fan. How, speaking of like the differences, Schottenheimer, McCarthy, how confident are you that it's going to be clear and obvious just that this offense looks different with the way they approach things?
Yeah, I think it's in terms of particulars, like, you know, route concepts or specific packages or anything else like that. We're not going to see a whole lot of that right now. And even if we saw a whole lot of it right now, we wouldn't necessarily be allowed to talk about it if it was done at a certain time in practice. But I think the sense you get from hearing Schottenheimer talk about where he was different, hearing the press conference where Jerry and Steven made sure to outline that, hey, there are some different thoughts here than what Mike McCarthy had. I think given what we saw at the end of 2023 with the way the players had kind of pushed back against the West Coast system that was being put into place and how Schottenheimer had kind of advocated for that. And then just in general, some of the personnel that you see them running out there with and some of the ways that you see them lining up, I think even to the naked eye, to a, you know, just casual football fan who doesn't necessarily know all the X's and O's, I think you're going to stand up there, watch the game on Sundays and go, this looks different. You may not be able to put in words, but I think it's going to be that clear to people that this is a different offense that they're running. To me, I think it'll be as radical in terms of just the, this isn't the same thing I've seen before or that I've seen recently. I think it's going to be as radical as Linehan to Kellen Moore. Not that those two are, like, not in terms of the way the concepts are executed or in a comparison of Linehan is more like McCarthy and Kellen is more like Brian Schottenheimer, but more just in the sense of like how everything had looked different the first 3 weeks of the 2019 season after everything Linehan had did. I think it'll be pretty clear to everyone that, yeah, they're doing different things.
What do you think Shoddy meant? He was asked about, you know, what the offense is going to look like and he said the one word, wins. Does that mean he's, you know, he is preparing us that it could look ugly?
Where he said, which part, when he had said during his presser today, when he had said the single word reply wins?
Yeah, there are plenty of areas. Yeah,
yeah, that was in reply specifically when he had just said wins. That was in reply to, he had been asked what stat or metric he would use to grade Dak Prescott's success.
Yes,
this season, and there he had said wins, which I mean, I get. I think Shoddy understands it goes deeper than that, but I think what he was just trying to get at was the idea that all we care about is securing victories. If we're securing victories, Dak's probably doing his job. Doesn't mean it's all on him. You know, it's not a, say, you know, if they were to lose everything, that Schottenheimer would say that clearly is nothing but Dak. If they won everything, that he'd be like, it's nothing but Dak. He's very clearly, the first thing he mentioned today when asked about what's the most important thing, he said turnover battle. So taking the ball away, not giving it away. So that's something
less
that's
risky.
Very important to him.
Less risky, so ugly, like the Eagles did. They went from throwing 400 yards and whatever, and now, you know, we're barely throwing it for 200 yards, and they just couldn't be stopped.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – I don't know that we're going to look at this and say this is like a heavy run first team or like this is a heavy pass first team. I think it's going to be pretty tailored based on, you know, who they're going up against and what they need to do on that given day. I think the George Pickens aspect of this is big for them in terms of how they want to structure their offense and what they want to do. But, yeah, I think that, you know, there was a clear intent when you brought Clayton Adams in here in terms of what you wanted to do with your run game and how you wanted to, you know, change some things there and evolve there. And so that's clearly a focus where they think they need to get better. They drafted a running back. They acquired two veterans. Or they actually drafted two running backs. They acquired two veterans. They gave their first pick to a guy who is a really powerful interior guard who can help in the run game. So I think it's clear they want to be better in the run game. Does that mean they run first? Not necessarily. Some weeks I'm sure they will be. But I think it's going to be pretty tailored to whatever they've got looking at them from across the field.
Man, it's another practice where everybody on the beat, there's a Kyrie Elam PBU. What have you thought about watching Kyrie Elam in these practices so far? Is he going to end up being a surprise and be more impactful than maybe we thought initially after the trade?
So I think he's looked solid. It's these kind of practices. I want to see him with pads, basically. I think that pads is going to be the biggest thing where he could have had the most dominant practices out here at OTAs and minicamp, and that would have been great. And we would have been talking about it, and I would have talked about being really encouraged by it. I wouldn't have felt comfortable till the pads come on. He's just somebody who throughout his career has had these sort of, you know, performances in the spring and the summer. And then when the pads come on, he's kind of disappeared in Buffalo when you hear people talk about it. And so he's a really, really hard worker. I think that whatever he can get out of his talent, he's going to. I think the question for him is just, does he have the instincts to consistently play out there? The pass breakups, yeah, he's made some plays a couple different times. Today's was a little – it's kind of a technicality because there was a free play there. They had jumped off sides, and so Dak was just kind of throwing it. But, yeah, he's been impressive, you know, from a standpoint of just he's not out here getting cooked. Like, he doesn't have the Mukwamu player. He hasn't had an instance like Booth did in one of these where, you know, he just got beat deep down the field. So he's generally been okay. Pickens got him for a step or two last week. Dak put some air under it. He was able to make a pass breakup. So I think he's been positive. It's just not anything that I'm willing to feel really comfortable about yet.
Got to run, Bob. Thank you so much. And we'll hear you tomorrow with Sean and RJ.
I love you all.
He's Bobby Belt here in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys. We'll step aside. Rangers player show. Sean Armstrong coming up next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, Nation. Time for the Rangers Player Show. They're in Minnesota tonight. Our next guest has been on fire on the road out of the bullpen. Whip under 0.5. He's crushing it. The Rangers Player Show brought to you by Globe Life Field. Over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. As reliever Sean Armstrong joins you now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing good, man. Can't complain. How are you guys?
It's great to have you. What do you think's been working for you so well on the road? And just overall, good season. Congrats on that. But you've been unhittable on the road, buddy.
Just trying to just stay locked in and, you know, be one pitch at a time. You know, I think that, you know, after talking with the pitching staff, pitching core, and, you know, the analytics guys here, kind of after the outing that, you know, kind of I ran into against Houston, I was more upset with myself of not, you know, taking control and stepping back and, you know, getting my breath instead of, you know, just kind of felt like I rushed myself there. And, you know, just want to do a good job of, you know, setting the tone for myself. I think the pitching staff as a whole has been doing a phenomenal job over the course of the season. And, you know, just trying to be one pitch at a time and control what I can control and, you know, go out there and just throw strikes and attack guys.
I love that, man. What else can you tell us about how this coaching staff is helpful, you know, with you guys working through that adversity?
Yeah, I think it's just more of the camaraderie, man. I think that, you know, having, you know, Maddox, obviously, you know, leading the core, and then having Bushy and then Teagues, you know, first year. I mean, I think, you know, as a bullpen, we can't speak, you know, highly enough of Teagues. I mean, the way that he, you know, kind of deciphers information, brings to us different things that we can kind of work on, we can harp on, things that we're doing good, things that we're, you know, not doing so good, but then also things that we can kind of implement into our arsenal and the way we attack guys. Like, but then also the openness for conversation amongst us as well, you know, like kind of our thoughts and what we're working on. And, you know, just the communication aspect from top to bottom from, you know, Maddox, Bush, Teagues has been absolutely outstanding. Everyone's on the same page, and there's just it's kind of the same message from all of them, but in a different format. And then again, the ability for the open door policy here for us to be able to go to them outside the lines during the game, you know, after games, before games, whenever it is, like they're there for us and to, you know, learn from us learn from them. And it's just been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Sean, we've been watching you guys just absolutely deal, no matter if it's the bullpen or the starting rotation. And I know from the fan base, it's like, well, where the hell are the runs coming from? I mean, for you guys, does that add to the pressure at all? Like, you almost got to be perfect every single pitch?
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, like, you know, I think our hitters feel the pressure enough. And I think that from a pitching staff, I think, again, I think the term that we're kind of using is control what we can control. You know, we have a very talented lineup. We have a very veteran presence lineup. And then the rookies and the younger guys that are in that lineup, I mean, they're outstanding players. I mean, I know it's probably a fan support. It's frustrating, you know, but at the same time, like, again, we're going to win as a team and lose as a team. So, like, we're not going to get caught up in, you know, stats or whatever that is amongst our hitters. But, again, we got a really good core staff. We got a really good core lineup. And we believe in them just as much as anybody else. And we know it's going to turn around. And, again, at the end of the day, I think as a pitching staff, we focus on one game at a time, one win at a time, one out at a time, and let the other stuff kind of fall into place.
Hey, Sean, I was going to follow up with Zach asked you, though, but you guys have been in so many high-leverage situations. Is this something that, like, if you have a lot of them early, that you do benefit late when that happens?
I mean, I think that it definitely sets the forefront for the second half of the season, but I think, you know, you look across our bullpen and, you know, we've all been in the playoffs for the most part. You know, we have guys that have been in the World Series, you know, but then we have younger guys here like, you know, Latsy and Wynn and, you know, Boz, like Latsy and Wynn, they're part of a World Series, you know, they saw the World Series. But I think it's just one of those things where, again, like we're thriving off one another. Like nobody cares what inning we pitch, what out we get. All we want to do is pass the baton and go out there and get outs and put up zeros. And then, you know, inherited runners on base, like we want to get the mouse and save them for the next guy to us. I mean, we have a lot of fun in that bullpen. And I think our core as a bullpen as a whole is pretty special right now. I mean, we've all kind of been journeymen around, except for a couple of guys here that have, you know, been drafted and groomed by the Rangers, and hats off to them too. I mean, Latsy and Wynn, unbelievable arms. We're blessed to have them a part of this bullpen. And I think it's just been a lot of fun, man. I think that's the biggest thing is, like, as a bullpen and as a whole, we look forward to going to the ballpark every day. And I mean, that's says a lot for a 162 game season.
Sean Armstrong with us here on The Fan. I heard you're a big sports card fan, and Josh Young is. I'm sure there's other players on the team that you bonded with over there. So what's the collection like? What are some of your prized possessions?
I mean, my wife actually cut me off today. She's like, you got to stop. she's like, I'm getting too many packages at the house. But no, I mean, I collect. I mean, honestly, like my most prized possessions are guys I played with. You know, like, I mean, I have, you know, quite a few. My big collection are one of ones, and that's something that I truly collect. I mean, and I'll be honest, Patrick Corbin's got me into football quite a bit. So, I mean, been pulling a lot of Josh Allen, a lot of Jalen Daniels, a lot of old school stuff. But baseball is my biggest thing. You know, like I got the one of one list is pretty high. I mean, with DeGrom, Eovaldi, Seager, Langford, Smitty, Devers, Guerrero Jr., Shohei. I mean, Paul Skeens, Scooble, you know, Jose Ramirez. Like, it's just that's something that I kind of collect. But then again, every teammate that I play with, I try and buy their cards. So that's something that I'm after big time. And then I have a pretty big jersey collection at home, and I try and get all the cards of the guys that I have jerseys of signed and put inside the jersey case. And hopefully one day my son appreciates it as much as I do. So, wow, yeah. So I mean, that's kind of the big thing for me is just collecting, you know, those cards and passing it on to him one day.
Live it up. Beautiful story, Sean. Great job, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, man. Sean Armstrong with you here in the G-Bag Nation. It's the Rangers Player Show on 105.3 The Fan. And, yeah, I'd say if my wife was getting too many packages at the house, I'd cut that habit off as well. You know, I think that's a clear sign that might be time to slow it down. Segment's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And that Rangers Player Show brought to you by Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Rangers in Minnesota tonight. And the pregame is coming up at 6 o'clock with the first pitch at 6:35. Okay, ESPN's Bradford Doolittle writing about what the Rangers should do ahead of the deadline. And there's some good news, bad news in here for you, Wolchuk. The good news, their win average simulating the rest of the season is sitting at 79.6. So from this point forward, you know, they should play better still is what the numbers continue to say. And, you know, their percentage in the playoffs, you'd rather see it higher. It's at 18.4%. Their championship percentage is at 0.3%. But then he looks at, you know, DH. And I assume when Jock comes back, he's going to be great. But, you know, DH is the one spot where you're like, we got nothing locked in here. We don't have any great options. Even if you had Jock Peterson, it wouldn't be a bad idea to not have him be an everyday player because of his injury history. So, you know, I'm looking at that DH spot. It's just been pathetic what he did. But I think this should be easy. Mally for a young guy who's been hitting bombs. That's what I'm looking for, and I think that's doable. And CY told us yesterday, no way they're trading DeGrom. He actually laughed at the question multiple times, which is actually why I was surprised Wolchuk asked it at the time. Yeah.
I know. I was stunned as well. I couldn't believe that even came out of my mouth.
But, yeah. Yeah, the Jock Peterson, you confident in him when he comes back? He kind of broke out of the bottom.
Yeah, he was unlucky. I honestly just don't know what to think. I can't say that I'm confident at all because I was confident in this lineup coming into the season. And unfortunately, that just hasn't necessarily come to fruition. Now, I did see MLB.com had these are some trade candidates that are starting to get hot now, and I'm just looking specifically at bats. Like Eugenio Suarez is a name with the Diamondbacks that maybe is worth monitoring. Could they want a pitcher for Tyler Mahle? Would they be interested there? Because they just lost Corbin Burns with a torn UCL. So Suarez is a guy that could come in. He's got 25 ribbies. His OPS over the past 28 games, he's had 18 homers, 48 RBIs, and 812 OPS for the season. So that's not a bad bat if you want to add that there. And then another option could be with the Reds. Austin Hayes, who's an outfielder. The Reds signed him to a one-year, $5 million deal. So he's got an option for next year. He does have a $1 million buyout, but he's a guy that's slashing over 300 right now. He's been getting on base. So if you, I'm just looking at possible bats here and guys that could end up being available. And if you're looking to move a guy like Mally, maybe those are a couple of options for you. But I'm hopeful that Jock Peterson could come off the IL and hit the ground running.
Speaking of hitting the ground running, we might have had the absolute robbery of the century last night. You guys see this Denzel Clark?
Oh, yeah. Does it every game.
Oh, yeah.
He's had like three of these this year. He had one where he hit the wall. They were playing in that Sacramento ballpark, which really has no padding in the outfield. And he hit that thing. He's
Spider-Man.
The ball. Yeah, but that ball was probably a good 3 feet over the wall that he and going down he backhanded that thing.
So they have this thing, the electric play of the week. And he's won it 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. And so last night, he just won it again for a third week in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I've seen cooler is Bo Jackson actually running on the wall. I don't think anybody could ever beat that. But last night came close to tying it. Ed Werder tweeted, this is a greatest catch of all time candidate. As, you know, he gets so high. And then I think he kicks up.
Yeah.
So actually his waist is at wall level and then the body control to stop right there. Like how do you not fly over the wall? But everything that he had to do over the course of 1 second to bring that in and come down with it was every bit as good as a George Pickens catch.
Mm. No, he literally last night, half his body was laying over the fence.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't tip over.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you, it was just amazing because the way he tracks it, but you could see, like, he had that run in that time when he hit the wall, like, super hard. So you could see him look back at the wall. And he was kind of thinking, okay.
Here we go.
And then when his ability to elevate and then still be able to find the ball as it's backhand it. Like, crazy. You know,
still be the glove placement there while just climbing halfway up the wall. Unbelievable catch.
The pitcher's reaction was incredible, too.
He's just like, he can't believe what he just saw. His hands are on top of his head, and he's just thanking the good Lord that he's got one of the most athletic center fielders we've seen in a while.
That would be so exciting every time you give up one of those to center field, and it's like, oh, God, wait a minute. We got Clark out there.
We got Spider-Man
Hold on now. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan. Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got some of our buddies' thoughts from the practice today. We'll go through some of them.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tee or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, the king, Rodas.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Saw what you posted, something we you and I did, or all of us did, right?
Yeah, I posted your breakdown of Jair Alexander and why the Cowboys weren't going to be interested. I put that on my new YouTube channel, How About Wow?
How About Wow?
Yeah, it's
How About Wow?
That's where I'm putting all our Cowboys stuff.
Yeah. Good deal, man. I was like, man, I saw that. I was like, it is sometimes like things get clipped and you're kind of like, oh, geez, yeah. What I do now? Kind of a deal.
I promise I'll always promote you
light. I was sometimes like you say, you don't recognize I see what we're doing here.
Now, the AI brought us in the thumbnail I didn't think was a perfect representation of you. That so was if you're hilarious. Offended by it.
Yeah.
Looked like one of my favorite pastors ever who's no longer with us, Timothy Keller. I was like, wow, dude, this is hilarious.
Apparently, I needed to add more photos of you to get a better composite AI representation.
That's the key.
I should just like send you a picture you can use. How about that?
That'd be cool too.
That'd be easier.
But then I'd actually have to make the thumbnail.
Oh, I've learned a lot about these thumbnails, by the way.
You can do them.
Because
need to learn.
Yeah, because of using them and stuff like that. And I kind of never thought you had to have them, but you have to have them.
So it does. It's making a difference.
Yeah, it does. It makes a difference. And how you set them up too is another thing. You know how you the pictures and then the little words, you always kind of have a question. Mm-hmm. You always have to have a question like, oh, get, you know, but if I think people also there, if they want to be able to like, well, wait a minute, you're changing stuff on me. People don't like it when you change things.
Yeah.
Like when you keep posting something and I guarantee you Vosh is probably listening right now, but we have this where we're doing it. We're trying, let's see, because of what we're doing together and, you know, some of the work that we're going to do. And let's try this thumbnail and all that. And he's kind of, well, I've been doing this for 10 years.
He has.
And here I am. Well, let's try it. And he's like, all right, I'm going to try it. I think he's just ready to like tell me to go pound sand when, you know, we had a good rally.
I mean, he has so many subscribers and loyal followers that it might not matter. But I think for anybody else, one of the things YouTube scores on is when your video thumbnail is in that feed, do people click on it? Right. Mm-hmm. So they're actually rewarding clickbait. And then the trick becomes, can you make the content actually satisfy the click?
I think that's the thing that I've learned this. If you have your picture in the actual thumbnail, it makes a difference because people will pass by you thinking it's a clickbait thing.
Yeah.
They'll say, well, who I'm not going to do that. That's a clickbait thumbnail right there. So I'm learning, man. I
know a lot of people out there are annoyed by the clickbait and trust us. We hate to put it up.
No,
you know, but you have to play the game.
I tell you, I told you the discussion I had with a gentleman the other day about Sean Payton. He took a conversation that we had and then another one that we had that I had with Vosh about, you know, Sean and what they thought about Williams, the running back here with the Cowboys. And Sean was positive. Sean was positive with me. And the thing that bothered me was in his thumbnail, he said Sean Payton picture and then, you know, picture of me, you know, shocking revelation from Sean Payton. And I'm going, shocking? He was positive
but
about
it. That's the bait.
But that's the thing about it is, I reached out and I go, excuse me, what's shocking about what Sean said?
Yeah.
And see, this is where I run into some problems is when stuff like that happens, and say it does get to Sean, he'll call me up and go, what the F are you doing? What did I say that was shot? You know, and now I have to explain. Yeah. Well, hey,
a friendship's at risk now.
I'm trying to help people here. Maybe educate them a little bit with, like, some of my sources. Talk to somebody, and I'm like, you know, hey, well, let me see if this guy will tell me a little bit more about the player.
Yeah,
and then when it comes back, it's like, well, What are you doing, man?
See, I think the right click there, or the right thumbnail there, is Insider Reacts.
Yeah.
That way you're not saying anything about what you said, but still providing some intrigue.
The creator told me, he's like, well, I was trying to, he goes, I thought it was positive in what I promoted. I said, well, the word shocking doesn't describe really what he said. There's nothing shocking. He was trying to like educate us about what this guy was as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, so, and I was like, you know, that's the tough part is now if he comes back at me and asks, what did I say that was shocking? And I don't want to talk to you anymore about this crap.
Yeah.
You know, and so you lose somebody that way. But I just was like, there was, you know, to me, it's about the content. The guy actually said in his analysis, he agreed with, like, he had talked about it before with Sean, I mean, or talked about what Sean said about the player. Like, his own evaluation was third down back, blocks well, you know, does this. I'm like, why didn't you take this as an opportunity then to, like, promote yourself?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
NFL coach agrees with my assessment. Or, you know, something like, take what maybe, like, former NFL scout agrees with my assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it as a positive that you could kind of pat yourself on the back that the guy who coached the player said the same thing that you've been saying for weeks now about the player. So it was one of those things. I don't know the intent. So
right.
I don't know. Are you trying to get your clicks point, or are you trying to like have really good content?
Yeah. I think you got to do both at the same time. And both these things can be hard to do, but I think the more shocking thing would be actually if Javonte was capable of having a, you know, 300 carry season.
Maybe that's the case. But Sean was very like, listen, he's coming off knee surgery. It's 2 years removed, this, that, and the other. So, take the opportunity. If you're out there, take the opportunity to promote yourself.
Absolutely.
If you're saying all along, take that like, hey, look, his coach said this, and I've been telling you this for 2 weeks. I don't know. I just a little different point of attack, I guess. All right. One of my favorite guys out there covering the team is Nick Harris out there with
the Fort Worth Central. Oh, he's crushing, dude.
Yeah. And Nick had some observations. Bobby did a really good job, too. With the observations, really appreciate. I trust me. I hate not being out there. I hate this. I mean, and I love my show. Don't get me wrong, but I hate not being able to watch practice. And just some observations from Nick Harris. Bobby did mention about George Pickens hauled. He said George Pickens hauled in 5 receptions during the team period on a variety of routes. One of the comeback routes completions against McQuamu was standout. That's the one Bobby was describing there. Like a double move that got McQuamu there. McQuamu is an aggressive player, though. I can see why you could double move him. He's going to.
Yeah,
He'll cheat it on you a little bit. Nick also said overall, strong day for Dak. He went 17 for 19. A little Todd Archer here, like charting these things. Todd does this at training camp. 17 for 19 passing in the team periods and completed more balls along the sidelines than we've seen in these other practices. So 17 for 19 for Dak Prescott in the team periods. A lot of the sidelines. Remember last week we were talking about a little bit more of the quick game stuff?
Yeah, underneath.
Maybe they're going to branch out this last week, trying to get those last minute things in before they go to Oxnard so they don't have to teach it when they get to Oxnard. They could just plug it in and be ready to go. So quick game last week, a little bit more along the sidelines this week. He said Joe Milton went 8 for 8.
Good day for Joe.
3 receptions to Jalen Cropper, who continues to find ways to get open in this setting. Jalen Cropper is always the guy, right?
Quick. I mean, yeah, he's one of those training camp.
Been on the practice squad forever. You know, maybe could get an opportunity. Probably not going to get an opportunity. All Oxnard team kind of a guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, he found ways, like I said, to get some receptions today. On the offensive line, he said, Rob Jones, the offensive guard.
Mm-hmm.
He said he left practice early with some issues there. He said some little grimacing on his face.
So hopefully nothing serious.
Yeah, hopefully I need to circle back on that. Another PBU. You mentioned this, Wolchuk. or somebody mentioned this, yeah. I'm sorry, another with PBU Bobby. With Bobby, with Elam today. The defensive backs can't be super physical in these settings, but he still finds ways to get his hands on footballs. Eric, I'll ask you again. You're going to wait and see on this one, aren't you?
Got to wait and see on this one. I am encouraged. I mean, I love to see that he's popping up in a positive way, but there's been real NFL games that have shown a lot different. So I will wait to see a little bit more in Oxnard, get up there close and personal, and then hopefully he's fantastic. And that would be a huge win for this team who's desperate for it right now at that position.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, though, that to me, I was trying to give a reason why you go get one of these corners.
Well, hey, when we get the pads on, we do get to Oxnard, and if things aren't looking good, there's your reason to go. Yeah. Now, I mean, if you wait, maybe they get snatched up.
Yeah, that's what I worry about.
You know, they said one of the main reasons that it didn't work well in Buffalo was that it was a zone-heavy scheme.
Yeah.
And that maybe that didn't match his strengths. Coming out of college, maybe just was never a great opportunity.
He also was a guy that was drafted by the general manager and not the coaches.
Oh, okay.
And so sometimes you get that. We'll show you kind of a thing.
Do you think just having a fresh start and getting your confidence back? Obviously, corner might be the position where confidence is most important.
Yeah, I think he's one of these guys. I know when he came out, I didn't have a first round grade on him. I know I had him more of a second round guy myself. I really liked the player. I liked how he looked physically, how
long,
he played.
Big guy.
I thought, man, I go, this guy's got a shot. You know, and then going to Buffalo, I thought, man, Sean's going to work with him. He's going to be just fine. Pretty good.
But it was one of those immediate things, though, where guys drafted below him were immediately better. That's just a nightmare, I think, for evaluators and the player. Can you imagine going home that night and then trying to build confidence as a rookie, knowing like the seventh rounder's outplaying you?
That was the big thing, the confidence, I think, just wavered.
Confidence was not good at all. All right, the final thing he said, and I got an update because this is going to pertain to Jake Ferguson as well. Today, Bobby talked about this with the tight ends, right, with Ferguson not getting some reps.
Yeah, Span Ford was working Span along with
Ford,
the ones.
Yeah. This is what Nick Harris, once again from the Star-Telegram, was saying. He says, more reps for the ones with Brevin Span Ford. He's been one of the consistent standouts in the media availabilities. That's good. You know, that's good because we had some questions if could he beat Schoonmaker out as that guy? Could he be the second tight end? So if he's more comfortable catching the football, that's good. I did ask somebody in the organization about Ferguson. Was there an injury that we need to know about or something happened? The reply was no, he is not hurt. So they're just right now trying to get a little bit more work for Span Ford. And so hopefully he did not look comfortable catching the ball last year.
Isn't that weird? Because I mean,
placement and all that, just not good.
But he's strong, right?
He's really strong.
He's huge. He was a great blocker in Minnesota.
Yeah, he's big, but his hands, it's like, you know, it's just there's not natural hands to the way he plays. But I always thought if he could kind of correct that, because he do some things. I mean, he's a little bit, he kind of lumbers a little bit running routes, but a big body guy. The problem is he's generally covered, and if you're not comfortable with your hands, that's when the ball just kind of clangs off you because you're having to make contested catches. But you got a guy on your back, and you're not being able to make the catch. If he could kind of correct those things, I think that he would have a chance. So, thanks to Nick Harris and everybody out there who's been watching practice. Really appreciate the updates here.
Yeah, I can't wait for more on that. Maybe it means they're going to put a bigger emphasis on running and they just need to get Scooney and Span Ford in there. Maybe there's been a cause for a demerit for Ferguson, but that's one of those storylines we'll have an eye on all summer long. The C-Note most afternoons at 3:20 here in the G-Bag Nation. Then you get Krusty's Corner. But today we actually had Sean Armstrong on. It was great to talk with the Rangers reliever back there at 3:20. So we'll do the C-Note coming up next and maybe some wild speculation on what Micah and Jerry were talking about today at practice. That's coming up next in the Nation.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.